In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. Today is the time of the fourth chapter from the first epistle of St. Peter. And this epistle has five chapters, so the last one will be, God willing, next Saturday. And this chapter, St. Peter links between pain and everything. And the pain here, which St. Peter spoke about, is taken directly from the pains of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is very clear from the beginning of this epistle, of this chapter, sorry. He says in the beginning, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Very important point. The pain or suffering in our life, well, when it is taken on the same way of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, then it's a sacred pain. It's a holy pain. It's a good pain. It's a useful pain. Why? Because Jesus suffered. Suffered. Not out of sin, but he suffered in the flesh. To bless even the suffering of his people. That's why there is a great relationship between pain and the holy life and the spiritual life in this meaning. He says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves as if it's a weapon. When he says arm yourself, it means take the pain as a weapon in your hand, in your life, leads you to the holy life, to the good life. Our Lord Jesus Christ was without sin, but he accepted suffering. So when we accept suffering innocently, then it's a very good weapon in our hands against Satan. He will explain it later, but the beginning is very strong, and very clear as well. يقول فقد قد تألم المسيح لأجلنا بالجسد. طبعا هنا بيقول بالجسد لأن اللاهوت لا يتألم. هنا يعني حتة برضو لاهوتية أشرحها بالإنجليزي عشان أحبائنا اللي مش بيعرفوا عربي ومش فاهمين بالعربي. دي حتة مهمة قوي. يقول إذ قد تألم المسيح بالجسد تسلح. فده سلاح. أصبح سلاح. أصبح الألم سلاح. سلاح. يقول عنه إيه؟ فإن من تألم في الجسد كف عن الخطية. يعني اللي يتألم في الجسد لأجل المسيح ده بينتصر على الخطية لكي لا يعيش أيضا الزمان الباقي في الجسد لشهوات الناس بل بإرادة الله. There is a dogmatic point very important in the word suffered for us in the flesh. Why? Because all of us know that our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate. His divinity came with his humanity together. But the suffering does not harm or hit the divinity. It only hits the humanity. This example was given by Saint Cyril in the Third World Council of Churches, Ecumenical Council of Churches, when he was explaining the relationship between the divinity and the humanity. He gave them the example of the cast iron, piece of cast iron put in the fiery furnace, and until it becomes very hot, and then we hammer this cast iron to shape it. So the suffering does not affect the iron itself. Does not affect the fire, but affects the cast iron. Why? Because you can shape the iron, the very, very hot iron, but the fire itself, because of its nature, is not affected by the hammering. This example was given by Saint Cyril to explain to them that his divinity parted not from his humanity for a single moment nor a twinkling of an eye, but at the same time, what suffered was the flesh. And here Saint Peter explains it clearly. He suffered for us in the flesh. Where was the divinity? Was him. But because of the nature of the divinity, the divinity never feels suffering or pain. So the same for us. When we also suffer in the flesh with him, for Jesus Christ, it helps us to overcome the sin. Explanation. Listen, please. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in the lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipating, speaking evil of you. So he said, it's enough. All the lusts, all the past, all the bad life that you did before you knew Jesus Christ, before you were converted into Christianity, before you accepted Jesus Christ. Now, the suffering of the flesh according to the lusts, something normal. And we discover now many bad diseases happen to the body or the flesh because of the bad habits, right? Drinking, lustful life, homosexuality, right? Drugs. This is suffering in flesh, but for the bad life. But the suffering in flesh, in the same way of our Lord Jesus Christ, leads to the virtuous life, leads to purity, leads to spirituality. Like Methelan, sicknesses for Christ, persecutions which befall on the flesh because of those who insist to keep their Christianity, refusing to deny our Lord Jesus Christ. And they keep bearing and bearing and bearing all the tortures befall on the body. This is suffering according to the will of God. This is the main difference between the two sufferings. There are people who suffer, but not every suffering is from God. For the sake of God. Many sufferings happen because of our bad behaviors, bad habits that we go through day, week, month, year, and year, and year. And then, as the Lord said, whoever commits that sin becomes a slave to the sin. كل من يفعل الخطية هو عبد للخطية. And also another thing, when the people saw Moses the black, was a very bad thief, slave, commits killing, lusts, robbery, very bad habit. When they saw him as saint in the monastery, they were very surprised. Exactly how St. Peter described now. The Gentiles or the non-believers, when they see you changing your life, stopping the bad habits, and suffering for Christ, they will be surprised. Say, oh, he was with us short time ago. What happened to him? He changed. He is renewed. He has a new life. He has a relationship with God. And even if I suffer for the sake of Christ, this suffering is according to the will of God, not according to the will of men. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Who will do that? Who can tell me? Verse number 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The? But he speaks about certain group. Which group he is speaking about here? Because they will give.
The ones who refuse to repent.
Yeah? The wicked people. The wicked people will give an account. So it's very simple, the verse. Doesn't need any. The wicked people will give an account. Also, we will give an account. But the main difference is that when we will give an account to the judge who will judge the living and the dead, or is ready to condemn or judge the living and the dead, when Abuna says that in the liturgy, all of us reply saying, according to your mercy and not according to our, then we are among the living or among the dead? We are among the living. Why? Because the living here does not only mean physically the living, but those who transferred from death to life through repentance, through good life, through benefiting of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness of sins that we get in the sacrament of confession, repentance and confession, and crowned in the sacrament of the Holy Communion. So we are living. And this is the main difference between the wicked and the believers who live in Jesus Christ. He will judge the world. He will judge the living and the dead according to their deeds. But we say not according to our deeds, but according to your mercy. Any comment on this verse? Any comment on this verse? Good. 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. What's the meaning of this verse? What's the meaning of this verse? Remember that Saint Peter was a fisherman. But this is the words of the Holy Spirit, something very deep. What's the meaning of that in Romans, in your opinion? Who are the dead that are preached? The dead? Yeah, the dead in sins, the dead in life. Right? Then?
So the Holy Spirit was preached to them.
Yeah. Yeah, but in this way, they will suffer in the flesh, but will live in the spirit. They will suffer in the flesh for the sake of Christ. Yudanu hasab an-nas bil-jasad. They will be judged. They will be judged according to men in the flesh. The men can persecute them. the men can hurt them, hit them. This is suffering for the flesh. But what about the spirit? But live according to God in the spirit. Not important to suffer in the flesh, but more important to live in the spirit. That's why sometimes when we have any problems and difficulties, persecutions, sicknesses, even terminal diseases, we become hesitated. Why? We do love you. We submitted ourselves to you. Why do you permit that to us? The answer is here. Not important to suffer in the flesh, but more important to live in the spirit. And the way that the Lord himself puts on the cross, that he suffered, and his pains were the ultimate pains can any human being may bear, may take. And he took it to himself to give us the top of the pain, innocently, to say, even if you suffer to the top of pain in the flesh for my sake, don't worry, you will live in the spirit. And this is what I want from you. Not important to live peacefully here with the people of the world. Not important to live without suffering. Not important to live without sicknesses, without persecutions, without resistance, without difficulties, without problems. Not important to me, but more important that you live with me eternally and live in the Spirit forever. That's why this chapter is very important, very clear. It describes very, very simply, in a simple way, the relationship between pain and holy life. This is number one. When we come to number two, which begins with verse 5, this is the relationship between suffering or pain and condemnation, judgment. One day I heard a very beautiful true story from Amber Weiss, the bishop. He's still alive. Amber Weiss, the general bishop, he's still alive. He said to us that a mother was suffering so much of what Abuna Pshoy Kamel called the sickness of paradise, the cancer. He used to call it the sickness of paradise. Why? Because those who suffer of this sickness are sure that they just spend some years, months, days suffering. She was suffering, and the sickness spread away all her parts, organs. She was suffering from head to feet. And her daughter was a servant in Sunday school. And she was always arguing with God, saying, why? Why? Why does mom suffer so much like that? Every single organ has the disease now. And then she departed into heavens. The same night of her departure, the daughter saw like not a dream. It's like something between sleeping and awaking, something like that. She saw her mother, and she said, I'm coming to comfort you. You know what? Every single organ on my body is crowned with a certain crown. So she saw her mother covered with crowns on head, on shoulder, on arms, on chest, on back. Every single part in her body suffered from the sickness was crowned with a golden, precious crown on her body. And she said, God is just, and he gave me more than I expected. He gave me a lot of crowns in heavens because of this suffering. I heard it directly from Amber Weiss about a daughter he knows. And she said that to him. So that means that when we suffer for Christ, I don't ask, God forbid, that everyone of us has. It's a different of crosses, different of pains. But there is a good relationship between the pain and the judgment at the last day. Let us continue until verse 11. But the end of all things is at hand. So the advice is now, explanation of suffering. Then, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Here he will explain the blessings of the suffering and how we get benefit of the sufferings that we have. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. Anyone speaks, let him speak at the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. What a beautiful life. If I can do all these things while I'm suffering for Christ, how it will be my situation when I face him? Every time I visit people who are suffering serious sicknesses, most of times I find them completely different, full of love, full of peace, full of hope, preaching more than in the past. I saw Abuna Bshoy Kamel suffering of this cancer 5 years, and it was written about him that the 5 years of his sickness were more fruitful in his service than the 16 years before his sickness. And I touched that. I saw that. Because he came to us when we were in England, 3 years between 77 and 79. He came to us 3 times to follow up with the sickness. So I saw him. I saw how much he was serving while he was suffering for Jesus Christ. It's very important. Don't escape from pain. And do not consider the pain punishment from God. No. He will differentiate later between the suffering for the sake of God and the other kind of suffering. He will explain it. But the suffering for the sake of God, do not skip. Do not blame God. Do not lose your hope in Him. Do not argue with Him in a bad way, as if He hits you. No. It's not that. It's not that. It's very easy to lift up the sickness from you, or lift up the suffering. You know what? When the Lord changed Saul to St. Paul, he appeared to Hananiah, the bishop of Damascus, and he said to him, Saul will come to you. Baptize him. Then Hananiah said to the Lord, didn't you hear about what Saul was doing? Everyone was afraid of him. He was coming from Jerusalem to Damascus to kill the Christians. Then the Lord replied, I will show him how to suffer for the sake of my name. This was a promise from God. And he became the most active apostle in the history of Christianity. All over the history of Christianity. Right? And he was suffering for many things. Not only sicknesses. Persecutions from emperors, judges, rulers, people, believers, non-believers, Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, here and there. He suffered. And he summarized his suffering in a chapter. You can read it. I think in Galatians. You can. These are the sufferings. Where is St. Paul now? He's looking from heavens to us saying, I carried many, many, many crosses. Now I am glorified much more than I have suffered on earth. This is the blessing of suffering. Do not escape from the cross if you are seeking for the resurrection. If you want to resurrect with him, you have to accept to be crucified with him. I was crucified with Christ. Then I am not living, but Christ lives in me. St. Paul said that. مع المسيح صلبت. فأحيا لا أنا بل المسيح يحيا فيا. Christ lives in me. Last part of this chapter is about how to share in the pains and the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen please and read with me. Beloved, what a beautiful word. Here when he begins with the word beloved, it means that he will give us something out of his love to us. Not to warn us, not to frighten us, not to let us fear. No, it's out of love. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. May also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as. This is the second kind of suffering. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody. Other people's matters, in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So the suffering because of my bad deeds is not a suffering with Christ. No. And here is the opposite of Islam completely. Islam gives a meaning to the people, gives permission to the people, gives order to the people to kill, commit suicide bombs, for the sake of their faith. But here he says suffering, but a murderer, a robber, it's not suffering for Christ. No. If I am hanged because I am murdered, I killed someone, it's not suffering for Christ. No. Who can say that? If they catch me while I'm cheating in the exam, it's not suffering for Christ. Right? If I lie to steal the society or steal the Revenue Canada and they uncover me and takes back whatever I got falsely, it's not suffering for Christ. Right? It's not suffering for Christ. So the suffering for Christ is being according to the same way of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. He was innocent 100%. No one, he said, who can blame or reproach me on a sin? No one. But in spite of that, he suffered. And here is the second kind of the suffering which St. Peter declares for us. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Do you pray this part? Do you pray this part? It's verse number 17. No, 18. Verse number 18. Do you pray this verse? Where? Huh? It's in the Vespers. The kennel Siddiq will go the Akhlus. Yeah. If the righteous, and he's cursed, be saved. How can I be saved? And the sinner can be saved. Right? The kennel Siddiq will go the Akhlus. Aina Adhar and Al Khatib. Look, the prayers of the Agbiya are taken completely from the gospel. It's the words of God. And we learn from him. and we speak to him with his language. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Submit yourself to him. Give yourself to him. If he suffered for me to save me, I should be ready to suffer for him to be saved also, and to take my part of salvation. Every one of us must have a part of salvation, because the righteous does his best. What about me? Can I call myself righteous? I can't. If you can, okay, it's your opinion. Myself, I can't do that. I just say I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm more sinful than the tax collector, the Samaritan woman, Mary Magdalene, sinner woman. I'm much more sinner than them. If I say that and try to make an effort to keep the power of salvation in me, then I will transfer from death to life, like as he said. The Creator will come one day to judge the world in righteousness and give each one according to his deeds, living or dead. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any question? It's a very simple, short chapter, but I took it verse by verse because I found it only 19 verses, easy to follow up and to cover. Inshallah, next week will be the last chapter of the first epistle of St. Peter, will be given by Abuna Barsoom, God willing, before he leaves for Cairo, inshallah. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, may make us worthy to pray to you. Thankfully, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Those trespasses against us, lead us and teach and deliver us in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and Amen. Nashkur sana al khayrat rahum Allah barubinu rahim al-san masiyah. أن سترنا عنا حمنا قبلنا لي اشفق علينا عبد الله تبنى الذي سعاد وفن السلام فن فهذا اليوم مقدس كل عام حياتنا بكل سلام للضابط الكل رب الله سيد رب الله ضابط الكل أبو ربنا ونعم خلص المسيح على كل حال ومن أجل كل حال وفي كل حال سترتنا وأنت حفظتنا قبلتنا ليك اشفقت علينا عبدتنا وتبنى هذه الساعة أجل هذا نسألك من صلاحك يا محب البشر نحن نكمل هذا اليوم مقدس كل حياتنا كل سلام مع مقافتك كل حسد كل تجربة فعل الشيطان وأمر الناس الأشرار قيام العداء الخفيين والظهورين زعهان وعن سائر شعبك عن هذه الكنيسة المقدس ما الصالحات والنفعات فارزقنا إياه إنك أنت الذي أعطيتنا السلطان دوس الحياة والعقارب وكل قوة العدو ولا تدخلنا التجارب لكن جنمنا الشريف بالنعم والرفات ومحبة البشر نواتي لإبنك الوحيد ربنا المخلصان المسيح الذي من قبل المجد والكرم والعز والسجود تليق بك مع الروح القدس يساوي لك آن وكل أوان إلى دهر الداخلين أمين. Mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy.
Purge me, his open, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Make me to joy, and grass is born, shall welcome and rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, renew steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of salvation upon this genuine spirit. Then I will teach your ancestors your ways and soon I shall be converted to you. Deliver me from all guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud with righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall post your praise. For you do not desire sacrifices to give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrary heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in the pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering, whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar.
Hallelujah.